98.4% chimps, isn't God then 98.4% chimp as well? Well, I guess that would assume that God has DNA, in which case you'd have to ask the question, who wrote God's DNA? In which case, he's not God, right?
Right.
So I think you got a problem there in its fundamental logic. But actually, they used to say we're 98.4% similar to DNA. Then they discovered even that is 48 million differences in the nucleotides. Then they discovered, about four years ago, oops, it's actually 95% similar. 5% difference in DNA. They said, oh, man, that makes us a whole lot more different. Actually, impossible to for there to be any change one between the other. And we cover all this on videotape number 4. Oh, Glenda, you're good. You got everything? Rubber snakes and everything for the Congo Trail. For Dinosaur Adventure Land. No, it beats nothing. Okay, we'll take them. 88 cents. Good.
Go scare Miss Hummel with one of those.
Yeah, go get one to Diane Hummel. See what she thinks. She loves snakes. She will be excited. That's perfect. Yeah, that's exactly perfect. Yeah, our Congo Trail, part of Dinosaur Adventure Land, is pretty cool. We put snakes out there on it. Yeah, see if she's going to scream. Hang on a second. Diane Hummel's going to scream and slap somebody.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
I think she's really doing it.
It's a good way to go to heaven early, Glenda. Don't do that, right?
She chickened out.
She chickened out. Okay.
Back. Oh, she's taking the tag off. Never mind.
Yeah, it won't look quite so scary with the tag. Leave the tag off. 88 cent snake. Anyway, question about DNA. Let me show you the facts here so you can get this straight. Barney Maddox, a leading genome researcher on the project, said, the genetic difference between human and nearest relative of the chimpanzee is 1.6%. Doesn't sound like much, but calculated out, that's a gap of at least 48 million nucleotides, and a change of only 3 nucleotides is fatal to an animal. There is no possibility of change. Then later they discovered, in 2002, September 30th, the Washington Post ran an article, page A7, that said, actually, the difference is a 5% difference, which is 160 million differences between us and chimpanzees. And then Nature magazine, May 27th of 04, said on page 382 through 388 that there is a 7.7% difference, which is 246 million differences. You change 3, the critter dies. Explain to me, if you would, how on earth you would propose to get 246 million changes. I would say it's much more logical to say, you know, we have some similarities between humans and chimps because we have a common designer. The same guy made us all. So, Burrito, try again. I would have to say I disagree. Here's one from Beatles, 1012. I was just sort of curious about the dinosaurs. The Bible does not say anything about dinosaurs, but what time they live and how they could have lived at the same time with humans and all that. Reply back whenever you can. Okay. Well, the Beatles, 1012. I covered this for 2.5 hours on videotape number 3. To make it real simple, dinosaurs always lived with man. They were just big lizards that lived with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They did not live millions of years ago. Reptiles never stopped growing, so in the pre-flood world, when people were living to be 900, the reptiles would grow to be really, really big. Like, really big. And so, they were dinosaurs. They called them dragons. People killed most of them. Could be a few still around, like Loch Ness Monster. Okay. Hope that helps, and watch video number 3 of our award-winning video series on drdino.com, our website. You can join us here now on the program, 877-479-DINO, extension 136. Okay, here's one from Jesse GG, who writes in, greetings, Dr. Hoven. While dogs don't bear cats, we all know that survival of the fittest by the process of natural selection works, right? Let me stop there and say, GG, I don't know that we know that. Survival of the fittest? The possum. It's got to be one of the dumbest critters on planet Earth. They survive marvelously well. And I don't know that they're too fit. They can't cross the road, that's for sure, and tell the next generation how to do it, because they all get flattened out, you know, on the highway. Possums, you ever hit one?
No.
I've only hit one. I had to kill one out here a couple months ago, I guess, out in the backyard. We got the barbell out of the weight room and whacked him, big old possum. He's going to eat the peacocks, you know.
Mm.
They're just not real bright. They got an IQ just barely above plant life, some plant life. So I don't think I'd agree with your premise, Jesse, that a survival of the fittest, natural selection works. I'll give that a partially. Okay, let me finish the question here. He says, so I looked up, saw about 100 geese flying over, and said, so then, we know that only the best few will survive, while the rest will die off without offspring. I say the whole phrase is bankrupt. What we should say is, the demise of the least fit is the process of natural deselection. Keep up the good work, Jesse. Actually, the process of ensuring that, you know, generally the strongest survive, though that's not always the case, is a process that keeps the species strong. That's all it does. It doesn't do anything for improving it. It just keeps it to be strong, kind of like quality control in your local factory there. All right, phone calls first, 877-479-DINO, extension 136. So who's on the phone there, Robert?
We've got Scott from North Carolina. Give me one second. Come through.
Get all the buttons pushed. Okay, Scott. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I had instant messaged you the other day, but I think I may have missed your response to the question because the phone rang. It was about your son-in-law with his cancer.
Yes.
How is he doing, and what treatments did he use?
He's much worse and probably not going to make it. They went three rounds of chemo first and then went to Mexico for Laetril treatments, and by then the immune system had been pretty thoroughly destroyed. Went several more rounds chemo, and he is getting tens of thousands of people writing in with every cure you can imagine, and some you cannot imagine. And they just said, look, stop, we're going to trust God. Don't give me any more cures. So it's a decision they have made. Now, one lady sent in a cure. She said, I know the thing that will cure cancer. If you come to Hawaii and sit on the beach and watch the dolphins, if a white dolphin appears, it will cure the cancer. And so they came last night and said, Dad, we decided that's the one we want to try. Can we get some SkyMiles tickets for Hawaii? I said, no. But, I mean, if you want to go, fine, but I'm not going to pay for that. They're just kidding. No, it looks real serious. He's 30 years old and in real bad pain with the cancer in his back, around the kidney and mostly a lymph gland that is swollen, probably much bigger than a potato. Anyway, pray for him. I don't know what else we can do. Give him advice, and they make their own decisions at that age.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
I'll pray for him.
All right. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. You can join us, folks. 877-479-DINO. Robert, that is good orange juice.
It's a Florida Natural Premium squeeze from our fresh oranges, not from concentrate.
But no pulp. I like the pulp in it. You don't like that?
Yeah, I like the pulp, too. Couldn't find it.
Couldn't find it. Where'd you get that?
Let's see, Walmart.
That's the one that they show on the TV, they're reaching through the bushes and grabbing the...
Yeah, that's the one.
I tell you what, you get down to South... We don't have oranges up here. We're a little too far north. But you get to South Florida where the real oranges grow. Straight off the tree. Man, oh man, it's awesome. Oh man. I was in Hawaii. I reached over there three times. It's rough, you know, but somebody has to reach the Hawaiians too, you know? Hey, they deserve the gospel like everybody else. And so,
yeah, I guess they do.
We stayed at this one house. These people had this house up on a mountain, and they said, you can stay here while you're speaking at the church. And they had all kinds of banana plants in their yard. I'm not sure how many different varieties of bananas there are in the world, but it's got to be thousands, okay? And so we had fresh bananas right off the tree. Oh, no comparison to bananas you buy in the store. Absolutely no comparison. So if you Hawaiians over there listening, ship us some real bananas, please. We're dying over here. Okay, here we go. Zoe Elner, 1972, writes in, some evolutionists have started to believe intelligent design, but no God. Have you heard of that? Yes. You got to ask them, you know, okay, if you believe there's an intelligent designer, then who? And some would say, oh, it's just nature itself is the intelligent designer. Some say the Gaia hypothesis, you know, the Earth itself is a living organism. Some say UFOs, you know, there's all kinds. I mean, that's why the intelligent design movement, I'm thrilled for what they do. I don't fight them at all. But I just think they don't go near far enough, and there's a whole bunch of screwballs under that one umbrella, you know, intelligent design. Forget it. Go right for the juggler, man. I know who the designer is. I know. He wrote us a book. I've read the book a bunch of times. I think I know what he wants us to do. Yeah. So I think we'll go many steps beyond that. Okay, Burrito writes in again today. What does God say about drugs? I don't know. Well, pharmakia mentioned in the Bible. You know, that's where we get a word pharmacy, which is the word for sorcery, translated sorcery in the Bible. I think it's wrong in that sense, if you read through sorcery. Revelation mentions it all, what's that, 21? I forget the reference now. Just type in sorcery in word search engine and you'll find it. As far as people taking drugs, I don't know, Robert, do you get into that at all?
Medical drugs?
Yeah, well, the Bible says your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit, of course. You wouldn't want to do anything to harm your body since it doesn't belong to you anyway. It belongs to God. But mm-hmm. What about medical drugs? What does the Bible say about it?
I emailed this guy back and then asked him to specify which drugs he was talking about, and I gave him some examples like tobacco, and he said, yeah, that'd be fine.
Okay.
But as far as medical drugs, two fields that I see is I believe that the body was designed and that every reaction or symptom that the body gives, it gives us like a sign, just like your car would say, check engine light. That's the brake in the bacon.
Break time. We'll be back right after the break, folks, and answer your questions at Dr. Dino Live. Welcome, folks, to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Robert Sager live in Pensacola. And we're the folks who believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate, and the evolution theory is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the world. And we produce a lot of videotapes and books on the subject, and Leah's going to read a few testimonies from people who've watched our videos. I think we're getting close to the 2 million mark of videos we've made. Thousands, probably close to 70,000, have been saved watching these tapes. Okay, Leah, take it away.
Well, just to finish up on the drugs, I wanted to say that most drugs are just chemicals, and the reason doctors use them is to get a reaction. It's not to strengthen the body or boost the immune system. It's to get a desired effect, and that's usually to shut down the body's natural inclination towards moving towards wellness. So, for example, with a fever, the body's temperature increases, and what they do for that is they give you an aspirin, which shuts the fever or completely stops the fever. Well, we got to look at the fever, look at the body, and see what the body's trying to do. With a fever, for every degree in temperature your body raises, your immune system kicks in tenfold. Also with a fever is when it gets high enough, it shuts off the iron supply, and invading bacteria and parasites live off of iron. So we look at the body, and Hippocrates said that the body is continually moving towards wellness, so we'd work with it rather than stop it. And you got to go back to, you get into your car and it says check engine light, you wouldn't clip the cord, because you're just getting rid of the symptoms. And further down the road, you're going to have a greater problem. So, all right, Leah, take it away.
All right. The first one is by Deer Hunter. Has the name here. Stephen A. Smith says, Kent, I would just like you to know how thankful I am for you. You have made a great impact in my life with the truth, and I'm very grateful for that. My daughter was starting to be led astray with the lies of evolution, but thanks to you and your inspiration from God, she was able to make a decision based on facts and put her teachers in their place. After her science teacher and her had a go-around, he viewed tape number 6. He came to school, hair a mess, and asked if she had more. She told him yes, and where to find them. The teacher didn't shave for 2 weeks and was very distraught. He didn't talk about evolution during that time, but now has to because it's his job. I thank God daily for you. Please never stop speaking the truth. Thank you so much.
Awesome. You know, a lot of kids ought to be giving these tapes to their teachers, because it's kind of unfair to have teacher versus student in a debate or a discussion. But if a teacher will go home and watch a videotape of mine and make comments, or if they have questions, call into the program, that's only fair, Very unfair to have teacher pick on student. It's kind of, not a balanced playing field. Okay, next one.
The next one is by Raymond R. Gray III. I'm a Marine serving in Iraq and had the opportunity to watch your videos on the creation. The information you passed along has changed my outlook on life and strengthened and reaffirmed my faith in God. As soon as I have an address in the States to send them to, I'll be ordering your videos to show everyone possible. Thank you for serving God.
Awesome. Well, great. Thank you. Next one, Leah.
Next one is from Roger. It says, Dr. Hovind, I want you to know that you've made a big difference in my life. I graduated in 1985, so I was given the full evolution treatment in high school. It struck me as funny today when I was watching one of your videos and you put up the picture of the fruit fly with four wings that can't fly. I think that same picture and experiment were in my high school science textbook. I've always been a skeptic, or at least I thought I was, and I can't believe I fell for that junk. The more I look at how little evidence there is for evolution, the more it amazes me that this is taught as fact in our schools. I am living proof that it is bad for kids to teach this world view to them. Thank you for your ministry.
I wonder how many kids have had their faith destroyed because of the lies in the textbooks. Like thousands, millions. It's awful. Yeah. We're trying to counteract that, undo some of the damage. Okay?
The next one's by Lisa Harrison. My son Jay, 16, just won the social studies fair at school on 2/15/2006 of this week. His topic was the Dr. Kent Hovind theory. Do you want fact or fiction? We can't believe they picked him to go to LSUS. His report was great, and his board had a lot of your pictures from the seminar notebook. He played your Dr. Kent Hovind theory tape also. I'm so proud of him for his beliefs and what you teach. His older brother and him saw you in Ruston, Louisiana, and they spread your tapes all over. It is their ministry. We love you.
Wow. Oh, good. No frowny face ones in there today.
Not today.
Oh, man. Some people don't like us out there. Did you know that? Before you came here, did you know how many people hate us?
No.
That's a lot. It's sad, too. Okay, one more. Was that it?
That's it.
That's it. Good. Well, thank you, Leah. Appreciate that.
My pleasure.
All right, folks. You can get us on the internet here. DrDino.com is our website, or you can instant message us. Dr. Dino Live, that's AOL instant message. Oh, put those in the testimony folder, turn the page down, corner down, so we know they're done. Good. You don't want to read them on the radio air twice. We get lots of them. Or you can call 877-479-DINO, extension 136, 877-479-DINO. Okay, what's the Bible say about drugs? I guess we got far enough on that one. There's one more thing I might like to add. There are a lot of things that people are that are actually illegal. That I don't know if America is taking the proper approach to some of these things. Like, should we put somebody in jail for taking, you know, drugs? I don't know that I have a firm opinion yet, and I'm not saying this is what I believe. However, if somebody wants to, you know, kill themselves, I suppose that's their business. Okay, now if they want to get out on the highway and drive, now it becomes my business.
Right.
But as long as they're doing it in the privacy of their own home, I honestly don't know that I can see a scripture against it or a reason for a law against it. I think it's stupid, it's wicked, it's wrong, it's evil, they shouldn't do it, but should we arrest them if they do it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've thought the same thing. I don't have a strong opinion on it either, but I've wondered, should we do it? I mean, the medical profession is doing it to us anyway, so...
Yeah, they don't want competition, is what it is.
That's it.
Yeah. I have no desire, I couldn't tell you what heroin, I think it looks like a white powder, but I mean, I've never seen it.
I've never taken any,
I've never seen any... you know, methamphetamines. I don't know anything about it. I'm ignorant. Okay, and want to remain that way. It's a Romans 16 thing. I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Don't learn all the evil things. Just be smart about the good things and dumb about the bad things. Romans 16. Something. Anyway, so I have no desire to do it, but I don't know that our legal system has got this straightened out where we're doing it right. We should be arrested for those things. I don't know. I mean, that's the way it is, so therefore, probably you should not do it just because, you know, it is illegal, but should our country make it legalized? I don't know. It certainly would stop a lot of crime. Legalizing drugs, I'm not saying I'm for it or against it, but I'm saying it would stop a lot of crime. It would, you know. I asked a police officer, how much of your crime that you deal with is related to drugs or alcohol? He said, oh, 70%, 80%.
You know, it was like the alcohol thing. They called them bootleggers. As soon as they made it illegal, there was a huge market for it.
Yep. Okay. It's because they didn't want competition. Really, it goes back to money. Because they wanted to tax the alcohol, and anybody made it on their own would, of course, not pay the tax. And so they were. It all goes back to love of money, root of all evil. And again, I've never tasted any of that either, and don't intend to. Okay, here we go. Hope that helps. Miso Benno says, I'm not a believer in intelligent design, and I personally don't think it should be taught in schools. But I respect your opinion and your organization's stance on the subject. Do you think that evolution should be taught in schools? I think that it should be up to the respective biology instructors to choose what they believe is most relevant theory to the subject. Here's... there's a little more to it, right? String theory? Okay, hang on. I'll take this question in bite at a time. The question is, should we have public schools or should we have government schools? Public schools are from the bottom up. The parents decide what they want their kids taught. The parents vote on teachers. Hire the teachers, hire them and fire them. And the parents decide on curriculum, and it's actually a public school. Now, that's not too bad, okay? Best situation, of course, is homeschool, and second best is Christian school. But government schools is top-down. That's where the government decides what's best. The state legislature votes on curriculum, and the state is telling you what you should teach your kids. Now, that I would be totally against, okay? So the question about biology instructors just choosing what they want, what we currently have is states deciding what's to be taught and not to be taught. Now, that, I think, is a dangerous situation, okay? That, of course, is probably the only way you can have unity, I guess, between states and, you know, so a diploma means the same thing in all states. I understand the problem, I believe, since my PhD is in education. I've studied this a little bit, but I don't know that the current solution is the right solution. So, with that said, I think science class should teach science. Don't teach anything about origins. It's outside the realm of science. It's just you can't prove it, test it, demonstrate it. We'll be back, folks, after the break in just a minute. Welcome back, folks, to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. I'm still coughing, Robert. This is Kent Hovind and Robert Sager live, March something.
March 16th of 06.
16th. Man, middle of the month already. And you, hey, next week will be Equinox.
Equinox.
Same time. 12 hours daylight, 12 hours darkness.
Hmm.
One of the two times in the year when you can balance a raw egg. There will be about on its end, okay? There are... I don't know what time that's going to be. Maybe somebody out there knows or cares. It doesn't matter to me. But there's a certain time frame for several hours during the day when you can actually get an egg and balance it on the end.
Uh-huh.
I'm dead serious.
Oh, come on.
Go try it right now. You cannot balance an egg.
Okay, and this is going to...
But on March 21st, you'll be able to. I'm dead serious. It has to do...
I feel like if I agree with you, you're going to make fun of me.
No, I'm not going to make fun of you. I'm serious, okay? It doesn't matter, okay? But it's just a fact, okay? The Earth is tilted in relation to the sun as we travel around, you know. And so in the winter, we're tilted away from the sun, and in the summer, we're tilted toward the sun, 23.5 degrees. Well, that means, let's say this microphone stand is the sun, okay?
Okay.
We're tilted. We're going around like this. At some point, we are the equator is exactly over, pointing straight toward the sun. That happens to be on March 21st. On that day and that day only, everybody on the planet, North Pole, South Pole, everybody gets 12 hours of daylight.
Same day every year?
March 21st and then September 21st. Then we're on the other side over here. Okay? It's called the spring and fall equinox. Who cares, right? But it happens, okay? Well, then as we come around, the days get longer and longer, and pretty soon there's a circle at the North Pole of pure sunlight. It never gets dark. That circle is real tiny on that day. It's just a dot, okay? But every day, that circle of constant sunlight gets larger and larger until you get to June 21st, when the circle of pure daylight is clear down to the 23rd, you know, 23.5 degrees down, all the way to Fairbanks, Alaska. You know, they never get darkness. Meanwhile, there's a circle of darkness at the South Pole that's growing larger and larger until it gets, you know, dark 24 hours a day,
right,
in that circle, and the circle gets smaller and smaller, and then switches over to a circle of constant sunlight. And who cares about all these things? I do. I taught her science.
I do.
Yeah, okay. Very interesting. Anyway, so because we're directly over the sun's gravitational pull is one of the factors that apparently keeps you from being able to balance an egg, because it's slightly off until that moment when it is straight over the equator, and it'll work.
We're going to do this experiment.
Hey, Dan, who lives in the trailer right next to you guys,
right,
has chickens.
Right.
They lay eggs.
Mm-hmm. I'll grab the eggs and we'll go.
We'll try it. I'm not talking about in a pile of sand. I mean on a hard surface, okay?
Okay, and what we'll do is we'll balance it, and then as soon as they fall over, we know that's the end of it.
That would be correct. They should fall over.
Right, and it gets out of balance.
Right, when it gets out of balance. So I'm sure that's in an almanac someplace of the exact, you know, we know that March 21st is the day. Now, which is the moment, I don't know what it is. Doesn't matter to me. But there will be, you know, probably an exact second when you say, okay, bingo, now this is the exact equinox. Let's get back to some reality here. Okay, we're the folks who believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate, and evolution theory is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. And you can join us, 877-479-DINO, extension 136. Or you can instant message us at Dr. Dino Live, or you can email us, which I'm going to look at in just a minute. I haven't even checked the email yet. Miso Benno goes on to say, sort of like how string theory is not taught in basic particle physics, and Freud is being increasingly left out of general psychology courses. Oh, man, sick mind Freud. Did you ever study any old sick mind Freud?
I heard you talk about him a couple times.
Guy was an absolute weirdo. He was very, very strong, staunch believer in evolution. And it just totally wrecked his whole philosophy of life. He was a screwball to the max, okay? Studied, you know, why do humans think the way they do? Oh, it's because we've evolved. Yeah. No, Freud. We were created. All right, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go. Willis Campbell. What's the best explanation for the morphology of the Neanderthals? I would say Jack Caruso has the best information about that. Dr. Dr. Jack Caruso, Cuozzo. He is in New Jersey. His website is drjackcaruso.com. And he has written a book about the Neanderthals and their morphology. And the book is fabulous. It's available on our website called Buried Alive. Did you find the Romans 16 verse? I think it's verse 19. I would have you wise unto that which is simple, wise unto that which is evil and simple concern, wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil.
It's 19. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Yeah, 19, you're right.
There you go. Don't learn about all the bad stuff. Just forget it. Ignore it. They have all these classes in school. We're going to teach kids all about drugs, you know. I'm going to teach a sex ed class.
Right.
That's a plumbing class, man. The pregnancy rates go way up, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Duh. All right. Here we go. So Neanderthals. Get hold of jackcaruso.com or get the book Buried Alive. Excellent, excellent book. Here we go. Celeste J.W. writes in, have you ever considered putting a mystery house in your park, one of those that makes you feel like you're standing at an angle when you're standing straight up? We could do that. You ever seen those?
Yeah, I've seen those.
Things, you know, you walk in and you're automatically dizzy. Things look. They had one at the Ripley's place in Jacksonville, Florida, south of Jacksonville at, can't remember the name of the town now, St. Augustine. Okay. Ripley's there. They have a tunnel. You're walking across a bridge, which is, you know, 3 feet wide, has railings, and it's only 20 feet long. Mm-hmm. And it's just ground level, 6 inches off the ground. Okay. But as you walk across this bridge, the entire thing around you, a great big huge tube, is rotating. And because this great big tube is rotating around you, you cannot walk across this bridge. It's the weirdest thing. Your brain goes screwy, man. Like, what is happening? Your eyeballs deceive you and you just fall over into the railing. It's the weirdest thing. You ever been to one of those IMAX theaters where they, you know, you fall down if you don't have a railing to stand, you know, hang on to? That's why they went to seats. They used to have them stand up. You go in this big room and stand there while the, you know, all around you are screens showing the airplane flying around, doing loops and everything. People were falling over, getting hurt.
Right. That's
fun. There's nothing moving, guys. It's a movie. But your brain is deceiving you. So a mystery house. Yeah, that would be interesting to do. Okay. I'll think about that. Thank you for the idea. We have so many things. We got about 800 pages of ideas to add to Dinosaur Adventureland. The problem is, exactly what the Bible says, the lack of money is the root of all problems.
Yeah.
Second Opinions, chapter 4. There we go. ATT011 writes in, hi, in the Sodom and Gomorrah story, do you believe God destroyed those cities supernaturally, or was it done by a more natural means, such as a volcano eruption? Well, let's see. The Sodom and Gomorrah story says it rained fire and brimstone. I don't recall having ever even heard of any place on the planet where a volcano spit out something that rained down in the form of burning sulfur chunks. The sulfur balls that are found over there at Sodom and Gomorrah, and we have probably 50 of them in our museum here, are 96 to 98% pure sulfur. They stink like sulfur, like rotten eggs. They are burned out pretty well. Sulfur burns with a real dark blue flame, real hot. I don't recall. I think it's about 2,200, 2,500 degrees. It's real hot, somewhere around there. Hot enough to, I don't know if it'll melt steel, but it'll sure make it awful soft, okay? It'll destabilize it, that's for sure. And the brick over there apparently was made from sun-dried mud brick for the city, because of the when you take that and get it up to 2,500 degrees, it turns into an ash. And what looks like just cliffs of ash are actually the old brick walls. You go up and you dig your hand in there, and there's sulfur balls by the millions. You've seen them in the museum.
Yeah, I have. Yeah. Real interesting.
Have you smelled them?
No.
You should. Just to say you did it once. That's enough. Once is enough. So there are only a few places, I think five, on the planet where this stuff appears in these sulfur balls like that. Generally golf ball size or smaller.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Big marble to golf ball size. Well, the five places are all around the Dead Sea. And it's where the old five cities were that were destroyed. It was Sodom, Gomorrah, Adma, two more. Doesn't matter. Okay. There were five cities, trust me, according to the Bible. Anyway, so did he destroy it supernaturally? That's actually a hard question to answer. God did it, but it's because this is such a rare occurrence, you'd have to say it was the only place on earth that's ever occurred. So yeah, it'd have to be. But he did use a natural substance like sulfur. I suppose you could say, in that sense, it was not supernatural because sulfur is a natural compound. You know, when God destroyed the world with a flood, was that supernatural? Well, it's normal water, just that normally doesn't happen. So the method was supernatural, the material was not. All right, go ahead. Robert, who's on the phone there?
Johnny from California.
Johnny from California. Yes, Johnny, go ahead.
Hey, brother, I got some questions for you, but I'll just limit it to one today.
Okay.
Now, we know Jesus rose dead bodies other than his own.
Right.
We know devils occupied bodies. But does the devil, Satan, does he have the power to reanimate a body? Not bring it, not resurrect it, but maybe reanimate it?
I don't know. He's going to apparently have that power granted to him for a time during the tribulation. Has got the deadly wound that was healed. He himself is going to, you know, have a deadly wound and then be healed. So, don't know. I'll give that a probably. He probably doesn't now, but probably will be able to there for a short time.
Now, does he himself have greater powers than his minions? Other angels that left heaven with him?
It would seem so. I don't know how to prove that. He's called the Anointed Cherub. Now, there are only a couple of cherubs, at least mentioned in the Bible. The verse is Revelation 13. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. That's Revelation 13:3. Then back in verse 12, it talks about, again, the deadly wound was healed. So, doesn't mean he died and came back, you know, resurrected himself or something. I don't know. Or God allowed this to happen. Yeah. Now, cherub. Let's see how many times that's mentioned in the Bible. If you spell it right. Is it UB? Yeah, cherub. Wow, 21 times. Well, a lot of them deal with the furniture for the temple. You know, you make it, we put a cherub on the gate and stuff like that. So it has now, to do with decorations. But
speaking of that cherub, that's a good thing you brought up. When God kicked him out of the garden and he set one there to guard the door, did that guardian remain until the flood so everyone knew there's a guardian right there and nobody can pass?
Or is it still there, is another question.
Okay.
I don't know how to answer that one. I had a guy tell me, I can't talk about it too much because I told him I wouldn't give all the details, but there is apparently a place in Israel where they think the Garden of Eden was. I said, I don't know. I think it's Pensacola, Florida. He said, no. He said there were some people who were doing excavations there and think that they found, you know, the angel with a flaming sword. I said, that sounds like a stretch. So I don't know what to think about that. But I keep tabs on a lot of these things, and I'd like to see it, you know, proven to me, I guess, you know.
It seems they could prove it easily by trying to pass it, and if they make it, they make it. And if the flaming sword pierces their body, then they have proof.
Do you want to go test it like that?
No.
Okay.
I'll leave it to them.
Yeah. I don't know. It sounds a little far-fetched to me.
Yes, it does.
So,
all right. Thank you for your answers.
All right. You're welcome. All right. Bye-bye. Yeah, I would think that the flood would rearrange the real estate and make the flaming sword, et cetera, no longer necessary. But, you know, angels are God's ministering spirits. They do what he says. And if he says stand here for the next 10,000 years, they'll just do it, you know. So, maybe so. Okay. Where'd we leave off here?
I got a quick question.
Okay.
You're saying that sulfur, when it gets real hot, it burns like a blue flame?
Real, real dark blue, almost black.
When the Bible talks about hell, it says he's going to cast them into outer darkness. Now,
right.
If it's fire, how is it dark at the same time? I've heard that when a flame gets hot enough, it turns clear. And it doesn't emit any light. Have you heard anything about that?
I've heard that. I don't think that's provable. All substances burn. Most substances burn with a certain color.
Mm-hmm.
Like when copper burns, it'll give a green color, okay? And you can identify what elements are burning based upon the color, the spectrum, the color spectrum. Sulfur, though, see, if you had a bunch of sulfur burning, the smoke, for one thing, would block out any light. So what little light is produced from the burning sulfur would be real dark blue flame. And make it, I don't think it would be visible in a room full of burning sulfur. I don't think anything would be visible.
Hmm.
Right? Good.
All right, thank you.
Okay, here we go. So, if you want more on Sodom and Gomorrah, the guys who've done most of the research over there are Ron Wyatt, who's now in heaven, and his partner Richard Reeves, who's now in south of Nashville, Tennessee. They have lots of stuff on that if you want to go over there. Their website is wyattmuseum.com. Check that out. They've got a bunch of pictures of, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah, right on there. All right, here we go. The Bart Man writes in. I recently found another good source for health in general, including nutrition treatments for cancer. Have you heard of glyconutrients? I have indeed. I have some good stuff here on my desk about glyconutrients. as I mentioned about, you know, the son-in-law, he has said, nope, I'm not trying nothing. I'm going to trust God. Okay, well, case closed, right? So we shall see. Okay. Dependap writes in. This is Dana from Plattsmouth, Nebraska, just south of Bellevue. Thank you for coming to Bellevue. My 5-year-old son Samuel enjoyed meeting you. We're praying for your son-in-law Paul and your whole family. Well, thank you. I appreciate that very much. Yeah, he's just in real serious pain. I mean, it's just awful. So, I mean, they live right next door to me. It's really awful to see him suffer like that. Here we go. Ashton Mackey. In my biology class, my teacher says that we have a monkey gene and a gene for scales, and that is proof of evolution. How do I answer that? That's dumb. I wouldn't answer that one. I would say, wait a minute, where's this gene and prove that, please? There isn't a human on the planet that has any scales. we have a monkey gene. We have billions of genes, many of which are identical to monkeys. So I would say it's more like we have, you know, certainly millions of genes that are identically shared with monkeys, which proves a common designer. Just like all these books I have in this library here, you can open up to any page, any one of these books. I guarantee, without even just random chance, I'm going to pick up a book, eyes closed, okay? Pick up a book. Open it up, eyes still closed.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see on this page letters that come basically for the 26 letters of the English alphabet. Are there any A's or B's or C's on there?
Oh, you're right. That's good.
See?
Wow.
See? Let me do another one. Get another book.
Okay, well,
don't need
to. I'm going to have to see this a couple times.
Okay, it's going to work every time, right? Here's why. That's the code with which English is written. So it's only normal that, you know, that's the 26 letters of the English alphabet. So I knew that without even checking. That I could open up any of these books. If they're not written in Chinese or some foreign language, they're going to have those 26 letters. So the similarity in genes is evidence of a common code, not a common ancestor. We'll be back, folks, in just a minute. Good evening, folks. Welcome. Oh, am I on there?
You are on.
I am on.
Live.
I don't hear it in my headphones. There we go. Testing. 1, 2, 3. No. There we go. I got one ear. I'm deaf in one ear and can't hear out of the other one. Too good. I worked at General Motors at the factory for a couple of years, and it just it was really hard on it. Probably, well, apparently permanent. Especially my wife's voice. I have a hard time picking up when she says, you know, you please help with the dishes. Just
I've learned to speak up.
Yeah, it doesn't. Those things just don't. Yeah, you got to speak up. I really am. I have pretty bad hearing damage. That's all right. I'll be fine. It'll feel better when it quits hurting. Okay, this is Kent Hovind and Robert Sager live in Pensacola, Florida, and we are the folks who believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate, and the evolution theory being taught in our schools is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. And those are the nice things we say about it. And you can join us here, 877-479-DINO, extension 136, or instant message us at Dr. Dino Live, DrDinoLive. Okay, so the teacher says you have monkey genes. I would say, well, sort of, yeah. You probably have millions of them that are identical, which proves a common designer, not a common ancestor. No monkey on the planet that has babies has a human or anything even non-monkey. No dog has any non-dog. No cat has a non-cat. It just doesn't happen. So they can believe whatever they want. I don't care what they believe. But, you know, real scientific evidence says, look, it's not happening, guys. So they should keep their religion at home. All right, so yeah, the genes, the fact is there are millions of differences between us and monkeys. The similarities might be an example of, you know, if I'm in Microsoft Word and I hit F7, it starts to do a spell check on my document, which is very essential for my documents, of course, by the way. I taught science, not spelling. If I'm in PowerPoint and I hit F7, it still takes me to spell check. Isn't that amazing? To the same dictionary. Apparently, they have identical lines of code in Microsoft PowerPoint and in Microsoft Word. Wow, what does that prove? That proves they both evolved from Morse code. No. How about that proves they got the same designers? All right, calls first. Who's on the phone there?
Michael from Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, I'm coming there tomorrow. Michael, yes, go ahead. Oh, you got all the buttons pushed, Robert? One more. There we go, okay. Michael, Pennsylvania. Yes, sir, Michael, go ahead.
Hello, how you doing?
Doing good. I'm coming up to Pennsylvania tomorrow.
Yes, I was looking at that, and I'm still debating whether I want to drive to the other side of the state or not to see you.
Sure.
Do you have any idea if the old school or new school board members are going to attend tomorrow or not?
No idea who's going to be there at all.
Okay. Is there going to be question and answer afterwards, or do you know?
Oh, yeah, I always have Q&A time.
Oh, good. I think I'll come out there just to see that.
Those sometimes get real lively. Oh, man, when I was at Virginia Tech a few weeks ago, woo, man, they were upset.
They were?
Oh, yeah, I couldn't believe it.
Well, I've talked to you a few times before, and I was telling you last week or a week or so about, that fella that I saw on the Internet, and I've been sending him emails back and forth, Scott Hartman.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, I asked him in one of the emails, how do you get them bones to speak to you? Are you considered the dinosaur bone whisperer? And, I don't know, he got kind of irritated just by the way his email come back to me. Started misspelling a lot of words. I could just see him beating on the keyboard. No, I'm not a dinosaur bone whisperer. I like to use science. I don't just look at dead things. I like to use science to figure out what, when, where, and how. And I said, once again, do them bones speak to you? He hasn't returned any more emails.
Well, see, we both look at the same bones. and come to different interpretations. The question is not what's the evidence. The question is what are their interpretations of the evidence. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Yep.
And I guess I'd still like to know how you get them bones to speak to you.
You have to go to college for years.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, well,
alrighty. I hope to see you there tomorrow.
Sounds good. Long drive,
right,
I know.
See you later.
Thanks a lot, brother. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, folks. If you want to join us on the program, 877-479-DINO, extension 136. How many messages on that phone now, Robert?
Six.
Six, okay. Not bad.
Yeah.
There were, what, 80-some before or something?
Yeah, quite a few of them before.
Quite a few. Don't leave a message. This line, nobody uses this line except during the radio program. It's holy and sacred during this hour and a half. Do not touch it. Okay, so you can call in and we'll take your call. Yes, instant message. Back to those, and there's a bunch here. This one is from Dan, who writes in. Subject, death before man's sin. Dan says, I was arguing with an old earth creationist that there couldn't have been a pre-Adamic man because it clearly states that no death until Adam sinned. And he responded that meant as spiritual death, not physical death. Okay, let me stop right there and say, what's his evidence for that? Adam, God said, you know, when you eat off, if you eat off that tree, you shall surely die. He ate off the tree and didn't die a physical death until 900 years later. So apparently, there are two kinds of death, physical death and spiritual death, but neither one was in the world until Adam disobeyed God. Okay? So I think whoever you're arguing with here is dead wrong. It applies to both kinds of death, spiritual death. So he went on to say that that means there was physical death before sin, but only spiritual death after that. I don't know how to respond. Okay, let me take the rest of your question in a minute, Dan, while I got a caller here. Who's on the phone there, Robert?
Brett Moline from Georgia.
Brett Moline from Georgia. Go ahead, Brett.
Hello?
Yes, sir. You're live.
Hey, Kent. How are you doing today?
I'm getting old.
How old are you now?
53. That's not too old if you're a tree or a rock.
Nah,
I got a long ways to go. Another 50 to go. Anyway,
can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I hear you fine. Can you hear me, Brett?
I can barely hear you, but I can hear you okay. I'm good enough.
All right, go ahead. What's your question?
Got a question for you. I have your creation seminar videos.
Okay.
And I love them. They have answered so many questions for me, I just can't begin to tell you about it.
Well, good.
Question I have for you. On one of your videos, you were talking about the difference between the King James Bible and the NIV.
Right.
You specifically pointed out one verse of Scripture that the NIV had left out.
Oh,
and I cannot for the life of me remember what that is, and I've not been able to find it on that video.
Okay, video number 7, about an hour into it.
Okay.
I would go there, and let me just read you a couple of the verses you can look for yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
There's 200
verses. Can you give
me
the verses?
Oh, yeah. There are 200 verses that are missing from the NIV.
Okay.
Because they are missing from the Alexandrian manuscript.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. I got a few of them here in front of me. Is there a list in there, Robert? No.
Yeah.
Okay, here, look up the list. There's a book called New Age Bible Versions by Gail Ripplinger. Excellent book. Okay, Matthew 17, 21. Let me just read them to you and you write them down and look them up later.
Matthew 17, 21.
Uh-huh. Matthew 18, 11. Matthew 23, 14. Mark 7:16, Mark 9:44, Mark 9:46, Mark 11:26, Luke 23:17, Acts 8:37, Romans 16:24. There's just a few, but there are 200 missing.
Wow, 200.
Well,
the one you specifically mentioned, you were talking about, there was somebody that stopped at a certain body of water and went down.
Yeah, that's Acts 8:37.
Acts 8:37.
Here's the deal. Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, they stop at this body of water, and Philip says, eunuch says, can I get baptized? Verse 36.
That's the one.
Yeah. He said, went in a certain way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, Verse 37. This is the verse that's missing.
Mm-hmm.
And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. So the Bible teaches pretty clearly that you have to be a believer in order to be baptized.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a candidate for baptism until you have become a believer.
Right.
Well, how many churches in the world teach you should baptize babies?
Too many.
Lots, yeah. So this verse goes against, you know, with their belief.
Mm-hmm.
So the verse is left out, and it's very convenient for those who believe in baptizing babies.
Right.
Right?
That is exactly
okay, you got some new ones there?
Note.
He's got a bunch of them marked here. Wow.
Yeah.
It's got all that in here. All right. Here's New Age Bible Versions. Here is page 71. Okay. Did I say Matthew 17:21?
You did.
2 Corinthians 6:5?
Nope, not that. Would it be possible to get a list of it, get a copy of this?
I think if you go to avpublications.com.
AV.
Like authorized version.
Mm-hmm.
avpublications.com. It's probably on there. Or if you want to buy the book, it's like, it's an excellent book. It's like 12, 15 bucks, you know. Go to our website, Dr. Dino, and look for New Age Bible Versions.
Okay. That answered my question. That's exactly what I need. I've been looking for, I want to talk about this Sunday. And I've been looking through these videos trying to find that specific verse that you mentioned. And haven't been able to do it. So this is perfect. And I do appreciate it.
Well, there's enough stuff on this book for you to preach for the next 300 Sundays on this topic if you want. Okay?
Well, I'm just filling in for my pastor. He's going on vacation. So this is just one time. So. It'll get
good.
Me through this one. That'll be wonderful.
Sounds great. All right. Let me know how it works out.
Okay. Thank
Thanks
you.
A lot. Bye-bye. Bye. All right, folks. Join us on the program. Our one lonely phone line is open, empty, unused, available at... So you've got one more button to push. How do you remember all these, Robert? You don't.
Yeah, sometimes I don't.
Sometimes
you remind me.
Okay. Ooh, our one lonely phone line, 877-479-DINO. If you're outside the U.S., you have to dial 850-479-DINO. Sorry about that. Toll-free number doesn't work out of the country. I don't know why, but it don't. So, 850-479-DINO, extension 136, and you can join us on the program. And I don't fight people that use other versions. I don't care what you do. I'd rather have somebody read the New Age. I'd rather have them read the new versions than Playboy. Okay, so it's kind of, you know, put it in perspective. All right, where'd we leave off here? Questions. Got it. Okay, I'm asking about death before sin. And physical death and spiritual death. I think you could point out that God told Adam, the day you eat thereof, you shall die. Okay. Well, the day he ate thereof, he didn't die physically. So apparently he must have died spiritually. So that introduced a spiritual death into the world as well. Robert, look out the window at my granddaughter. Look at that hairdo she's got.
Looks like an afro.
I bet she had a ponytail, and they just took it out.
That's it.
Almost two, and her hair is not quite long enough for a real ponytail. It looks, oh, wow, pretty wild. It's cool, man. I'm liking this grandpa stuff a lot, a whole lot. Okay, where'd we leave off? Okay, so death before sin. It says, God and your ministry, I cannot thank God enough, God and your ministry enough for how radically God changed my whole worldview and the way I think about everything. Everything I now think goes through Everything I think now goes through God almost like a filter. And when I start thinking about something that God would disagree with, my mind automatically catches, identifies, and stops me from continuing that thought and prevents me from doing most sins. Please email your response because I don't think I'll be able to hear the program on the radio due to being elsewhere during your radio program hours. Well, it's too late. I done answered it. Email her back, whoever this is, him, Dan, and say, call in sometime, talk on the phone. I don't do email. I got up to 1,000 a week and totally surrendered, gave up, said, forget it. I'm not going to do anymore. Called all the secretaries in and says, look, if you can't answer it, tell them to call their program. I just don't have time for any more. Okay, the Bart Man writes in, here's some information on the egg balancing during the equinox myth. Oh, he says it's a myth. Okay, urban legends, maybe it is. Urban legends. Can you balance eggs on equinox? Okay, who's on the phone there? I'll read this over while we answer the phone.
We've got Clay Hardy from Illinois.
Illinois. Clay. Yes, Clay. Go ahead.
Hello, Kent. I was curious. You was telling that the Earth is a big magnet, of course, and it loses its constantly is losing its strength. And you said, and I guess secular scientists have learned this, that they that the Earth's magnetism has lost 10% in the last 150 years. How does that work, and how do they know that? I mean, with a 100-pound weight, 150, you know, if it's 100 pounds 150 years ago, would it only be 90 pounds, or how does that work?
No, no, that's gravity. That's nothing to do with magnetism.
Okay.
The Earth's magnetic field is losing its strength, but that has no effect on gravity.
Okay.
Let's see. Let me get the detail. I'll get the references for you. Yeah, gravity, actually, there's a difference between your weight and your mass, which is another long story, but your mass stays the same even if you're out in space and you don't weigh anything. A 200-pound football player running into a 100-pound football player in space will have the same effect as it does on Earth.
Okay.
Even though they're weightless. Their mass did not change. Okay, here we go. Magnetic field. Mass is the amount of material that it has. Here's a couple of... Okay, Earth's magnetic field has lost 10% in the last 150 years and 40% in the last 1,000 years. There is an article about this, Institute for Creation Research, ICR.org.
Okay.
For many years, they've put out little one-page articles called Impact Articles, I-M-P-A-C-T. They're up to number, what was it yesterday, Robert? I showed you this one just came this month, 390 or something?
Let me check 1 second.
That's okay, never mind. It's about in the nearly 400. So you figure one a month for 400 months, well, that's a long time.
Okay.
I think since early 70s. But you can still get all the back issues. They're 10 cents a piece. So for, you know, for 40 bucks, you could get all the back issues.
Okay.
Excellent material, okay? ICR.org. You want impact article number 188.
Okay.
And number 242.
Okay.
There's also a book by Henry Morris, who just died here recently, called Scientific Creationism. That book's available on our website, if you want to get that.
Okay.
Scientific.
Yeah, I was. I didn't know how they figured that, or how they measured that, and I was just kind of curious.
Yeah, he covers that on page 157. Let's see, who else do we have on here? Oh, there's all kinds of technical reports. Here's an analysis of Earth's magnetic field from 1830 to 1965. Yeah, we'll come back after the break. If you want to hang on, I'll give you more, okay? Be back in just a minute. Welcome back, folks, to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Robert Sager live in Pensacola, Florida. You're getting all them buttons pushed, okay?
I'm pushing them. Yeah, oh, it's March 16th of 06.
March 16th of 06. And you can join us on the program, 877-479-DINO, extension 136. So is Clay still on the phone?
Yeah.
Yes, sir, Clay. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got one comment. Right. One question.
Sure.
I can only write like 19 words. And 11 mistakes.
That's me too.
Okay, so I was writing down Christian Scientific Creationism, Henry Morris, but I didn't get the page number.
Page 157.
157. Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. All right.
Have a good one.
All right, you're welcome. Bye. All right, folks, join us on the program here, 877-479-DINO, extension 136, live March 16th, and you can join us answering questions about the subject of creation, evolution, and dinosaurs. We take the position and have for 2.5 years on the program here and 17 years out speaking on the topic and for about 37 years total in my Christian life, I've taken the position that the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate. And the evolution theory being taught in our schools is the dumbest, most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. People say, well, Hovind, that's not very tactful. Oh, it's, I'm sick of beating around the bush, man. Cut the bush down. Just cut it down. All right, and you can join us on the program, and we will answer your questions if possible. 877-479-DINO, extension 136. And they're coming in quicker than we can get them here. Let's see. Dan, physical death, spiritual death. Did I answer all that? Oh, okay, yeah. You have to call in for that one. Oh, egg balancing myth. Something happened on the phone. Let me read what they say about can you balance an egg. I didn't get a chance to read that. Folklore. Spring celebrated throughout history is a time for organic and spiritual rebirth following the dying of the year that winter. Ancient Greek festival of Ostar, in honor of the goddess, also known as Ishtar, from whose name the word estrogen was derived, celebrated the cyclical return of light and life with fertility rituals and symbols, some of which still survive in the form of modern Easter and Easter egg. I agree with all that so far. Easter is, without a doubt, a pagan holiday. Oh, they got a picture of an egg successfully balanced 3 weeks before equinox. Oh, okay. I guess I never tried, other than on equinox. We did it 1 year, so hey, it works. Okay. Now, is this a hard-boiled egg? I want to see that one. Okay. Special gravitational forces. It talks about... No, you're balancing on a pinch of salt. Oh, come on. Now, that's not fair. It can be done, by the way, but the trick takes lots of patience, eggs of just the right shape, a pinch of salt if all else fails, and frankly, it doesn't matter what day of the year you attempt it. The Bad Astronomy homepage rightly condemns all this as unscientific hooey. But don't let that stop you from gathering friends and family around to try for yourself. At the risk of being boiled and dyed for heresy, I dare say there's more to life than science. Well, yeah, oh yeah, there's definitely more to life than science, but I do like science. Okay. Interesting. You can balance an egg, or can you balance eggs on end during the spring equinox? Got another article it's taken me to here, Urban Legends. Okay. Well, all right. I will test it. I'm going to say that I'm willing to be corrected if I'm wrong, and that's not a problem at all. So I know it can be done on, you know, those days. I would bet. We should try it. Robert, we should get, you know, 20 eggs. Try to balance them. If you find three that'll balance, great. Put them back in the cart and label them. You know, put a B on there. Bell. Okay. Then try it again and see. I bet you could balance more. Maybe that's the deal, you know. Maybe balance all of them.
Yeah, sounds fair.
Could be. You know why chickens lay eggs?
Why?
If they drop them, they'll break.
Nah.
Yeah, okay. Okay, here we go. Don Volscom.net writes in, hello, do you think exploration of other planets is a big waste of money? Could be given to the poor and needy. That's really two questions. Yes, I think it's a waste of money. Okay. But should the money be given to the poor and needy? That's another question. Yes, it's a waste of money. Could the money be used more wisely? I think our government is so hopelessly in debt, they should just learn to, you know, spend what they have and stop right there, okay? And they should stay within the constitutional limits of providing what they're supposed to be providing, which is security from foreign enemies and a judicial system, a system of courts. There's really not much else they're supposed to be doing, okay? Just about everything else is outside the realm of their constitutional obligations. So, yeah, there's a lot of websites deal with that topic. Okay, that's outside my field of expertise. Okay, here we go. God Creation 1602. Man, getting tired. Have you heard of Fred Spohr and his research with Java Man's semicircular canal? After studying the canal, he and his team came to the conclusion that Java Man walked like an ape. He said, among the fossil hominids, the earliest species to demonstrate the modern human morphology is Homo erectus.
He says here, God's Creation, he emailed me back saying, correction, Fred Spohr studied Homo habilis.
Oh, not Java Man. Okay. Homo habilis walked like an ape. I don't know. I tell you, the book that deals with that topic a whole lot, is Bones of Contention by Marvin Lubinow. Excellent book dealing with all of the so-called cavemen. The book is entitled, or maybe it's an article, Implications of Early Hominid Labyrinthine Morphology for Evolution of Human Bipedal Locomotion, Nature Magazine, June of 94. Page 645. For information, go to DarwinismRefuted.com. Never been to that website. DarwinismRefuted.com. I have to check that out. Okay. Next one. You can get yours in here right away before we run out of time. We have 6 minutes, 7 minutes left, so get them in quick. Tonight, by the way, is creation class here in Pensacola. If you're listening in the area, come on over. We teach a class every Thursday night, 6:35. You can come join us for 45 minutes studying on creation. Have a lot of fun. I'm going through my seminar videotaping. It's going to become our college class 202. And there's lots of good stuff. Open discussion time on topics around the creation theme. All right. And calls first, 877-479-DINO. Who's on the phone there, Robert?
We have Jonathan from Pal Talk.
Jonathan, yes, sir. Got about 4 or 5 minutes left. What's up? Nope. Got to push the white button. There we go. Got them all pushed? Jonathan, still there?
Yes, pushed. I can. Hang on. I can hardly hear you.
Okay, yeah.
There we go.
Right?
I don't know. The feed here has just been getting so quiet when I call in. I don't know. I don't think it's my phone. I've talked to other people, but anyway. Yeah, I can hear you now. Can you hear me?
Yep, can hear you fine.
Okay, I was wondering if you saw this morning, AOL had just found, they printed some news, you could do a search on AOL News for it, a twisted double helix nebula. If you've heard anything about that yet.
No, you mean like a galaxy?
Well, it's a nebula. Read this here, it's right off of AOL News yesterday, actually. A cosmic nebula usually looks like blobs in space, but astronomers using the Spitzer Space Telescope report on Wednesday that they found a nebula twisted like the double helix of DNA. And I'll show you one of the comments here. Interesting. Mark Morris of the University of California, Los Angeles, says, most nebulae are formless, amorphous conglomerations of dust and gas, Morris said in a statement, adding that this one indicates a high degree of order. Interesting. Hmm. A nebula that looks like a DNA strand, if you want to look that up.
Yeah, okay. Interesting.
There. You know, kind of an interesting little story. I thought maybe you might have heard something about it.
No, I haven't heard that one.
Anyway, I was wondering, we've got a busy room today. What is a good website for the Ica Stones?
I don't know that there is one. There may be. Dennis Swift would know. Don Patton has some. I don't know if he has a website, though. Carl Baugh actually has two of the stones. We have 8 here in our museum in Pensacola. But go to creationevidence.org. That's Carl Baugh's website. And see if he has stuff on there. He travels almost as much as me, and the guy's 65 years old. So he's really hard to get a hold of, okay?
Okay.
But, I mean, he's in and out, in and out, in and out.
Carl Baugh?
Carl Baugh has studied him intensely. Don Patton, who is lives in the Dallas, Texas area.
Okay. Any websites besides your own, maybe you link off of, or like ICR or AIG or any of those popular ones?
I think AIG wrote an article saying they don't believe in the Ica Stones, and then they got blasted from all sides saying, oh, you need to study this, you know, think before you talk kind of stuff. And I don't know if they retracted it or what, but let's see. I'm looking up in my PowerPoint to see if I have... yeah, there it goes. Okay, Ica Stones. I think I've got Don Patton's... Oh, there we go. No, it's not that. I don't have Don Patton. Carl Baugh knows him. Don Patton lives in the Dallas area, Richardson, Texas.
Okay.
Which is Dallas on the north east side. So probably if you got a Richardson, Texas on the internet and looked up Don Patton, P-A-T-T-O-N, there probably are several Don Pattons in the world. But
and you said Dennis Swift might have something on it?
Dennis Swift definitely has stuff on that. I mean, he's the only one I know who's able to get him out of the country. Everybody down there, he's been down there years and years and years.
Well, because I know the only evidence they ever say that it was a hoax was because the guy was, he drew them himself. And like you said, if you steal Peruvian treasures, you go to the Peruvian jail.
You don't want to go to Peruvian jail.
Right. So of course the guy is going to, you know, on TV say, no, sorry, I made these myself. Watch me do it again.
Well, so he did one on TV. He took a broken hacksaw blade and he drew on the rock and then carved it with a hacksaw blade.
Right.
Dennis Swift then looked at it under the microscope, under a stereo high-power microscope, and you can see little metal shavings and, you know, the shape of the groove is very distinct. Mm-hmm. This was made by a hacksaw.
Mm-hmm.
Then he opens up the, you know, the regular Ica Stones and looks at those in the microscope. Aha. No metal shavings, no distinct groove. There's patina growing in the groove. I mean, there's desert patina, desert varnish, they call it. No, these are hundreds and hundreds of years old.
Okay. That, and you don't need any imagination. A lot of people haven't seen them. I saw some pictures of it on some different websites. You don't need imagination or anything like that to say, wow, that's a Triceratops.
Or no, okay, I found Don Patton's website, bible.ca/tracks, T-R-A-C-K-S.
Bible.ca/tracks?
Yes. Now, that is a Church of Christ website, and I believe Don Patton is Church of Christ, and I would have to strongly disagree with what they believe on a couple of things, you know. But still, what they've got is really good on that topic anyway.
Okay. Is that it, bible.ca/tracks?
Yep.
That's got some Ickestone information, right?
Well, that's his. If he has anything on Ickestones, it'll be on there, on his website. But you can email him from there.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Who was it that got him out of there? He said it was Dennis Swift.
Dennis Swift, yeah. Oh, 20, I'm going to say 28. 26 or 28 of the stones have been, you know, at least legally, taken out of Peru and brought to America.
Wow. Several
creation museums have, you know, a couple. Like I said, we have 8. As far as we know, it's the largest collection in America.
Okay.
And one of ours is called a base relief, where instead of carving into the stone, you carve away the stone to expose out the dinosaur. Of course, that takes much longer.
Hmm.
Everything's carved back except the dinosaur.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about doing that.
Yep. Reverse order.
Yep. We got a break. We're done, actually. Done.
Yeah, we're done.
Okay, tomorrow, folks, I will not be here. I'll be in Pennsylvania. So Robert will play a tape, and we'll see you Monday. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.